Blog Talk Radio.
And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. The men who died, who gave that fight to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
Everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. This is Fritter Ward. I'm your host for the evening. If you have anything you want to sound off or want to call in, our number is 718-305-7176. Feel free to call at any time. Tonight, I'm not going to be giving a big, long introduction speech, but I wanted to play that song in memorial for all of our troops that in the past have given their lives for this country and for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, and for their service and to their families, and to all those surrounded with them. And in keeping with that, I'm just one of the topics that I was kind of interested in is the speech that our president gave on Wednesday to a group of the Air Force Academy, stating that America is more respected now around the world. And I'd like to have everybody's opinion on that, because I don't know if I'm just blind and I'm not seeing that, but I have this distinct impression that there is no respect for our country or our decision making, and because of the decisions that this administration has made and continues to make in overseas policy. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Thomas. He's calling in on the line. So, hey, Thomas, how are you tonight?
Hi, Brenda. What you doing?
Oh, not much. Just enjoying a little cooler weather today. At least it wasn't in the 90s, close to 100, like it was yesterday here in Indiana. So, how about yourself?
Oh, I'm sitting in a cool air-conditioned room with the fan going and just listening to the show and, getting ready for my really huge conference next year. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Billy hasn't called in yet, so I don't know if she's just running a little behind or if she's forgetting about me tonight, but, you know. So what is your opinion on the president and his speech, how he thinks that we're more respected around the world? I mean, do you see that? I don't know that I'm seeing that.
You know what? You know, there's this going, this saying that goes something like this. How do you know when a liberal's lying?
Yeah.
When they open their mouth. So, you know.
So, yeah, you're kind of on the same page I am on that issue. So.
Yep.
But it was just, I just couldn't believe, you know, I'm just like going, really? I mean, really? Come on, you know. You know, we can't even threaten anybody because nobody thinks he'll follow through with anything. And then they have the new reports coming out of Iran with them enriching uranium up to 27%, which is nuclear grade, and all this other stuff, and nothing's happening. And in Syria, where they just, 108 people just died, and I know it's a complicated situation, but for, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me how, you know, with Libya, you know, we had to rush in there and we had to support these people because we couldn't let these innocent people die. And yet here in Syria, the same thing is going on. Innocents are being killed. And yet the world is just sitting back and watching. And there's no consistency in the response to the situations. And I know the politics are different, but, you know, politics shouldn't be involved when you're talking about human lives, you know, and their welfare of the women and children in this country that are obviously suffering. But that's just kind of another story altogether. But yes, and then, so that was just my interesting thoughts. If anybody has thoughts on that, feel free to call in tonight. We're looking, they're going to be looking at some of the primary results coming in from Texas tonight. Romney's going to clinch the nomination tonight with his win in Texas. But I think there's some conservative people running for the Senate and different races out there. So we'll have to see how that all comes down. And hopefully Michael B. might call in and kind of give us an update. He was at the polls today, and I think they had a good turnout where he was there in Texas, which is always good to see. So just from what I was picking up on Facebook. But again, going into, and we're talking about overseas affairs, you know, as they tried to portray that there was this war on women here in the United States with the Republicans somehow being waging war on women, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because I know a lot of women who are Republicans, and we have these same beliefs that the men in the Republican Party have. So how you call that a war on women, I'm not really sure, but what is striking is that This present administration has been in talks with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and they have, you know, encouraged. There's so much of the Muslim Brotherhood in the overseas, in Egypt and in Libya and different places. And I was just happening upon an article here from Afghanistan in Kabul, which is the capital, where there were 160 schoolgirls who were poisoned Tuesday in the Tangarh province. Yes, they're poisoning the schools to try to get the, because they don't, you know, the Taliban doesn't believe that women should be educated. This is the second incident in a week's time at the Ahandara Girls School in Talaquan, the provincial capital. Girls aged 10 to 20 complain of headache, dizziness, and vomiting before being taken to the hospital. They didn't die from this, but they took some blood samples to send, and the Taliban has claimed responsibility for these poisoning. And yet we have people here from the other party talking about a war on women, why the current administration is negotiating with the Taliban, who has claimed responsibility for actually poisoning girls and women for the audacity to want to have an education, and the hypocrisy that is coming, you know, the hypocrisy of this war on women, when, you know, we won't provide their birth control, and yet they're in, you know, trying to talk to people who literally will poison women to keep them from getting an education. And I think that's really a sad statement of where some people in this country are today in their beliefs and what they're trying to push. Yeah, can you believe that? I was reading that, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. And not only that, you know, we're pulling out in 2014 in Afghanistan. We're basically giving up. And what's going to happen to these women and these girls in Afghanistan when we do leave? It's just sad. We wasted, you know, to me, it's almost like we wasted the lives of our military men and women there because we didn't go in to win. And when you don't go in to win, you know, you're not going to win.
Right.
And it's very frustrating because, you know, any progress that we had made when they started doing talks with the Taliban, I think, kind of went backwards. And the lack of response to the United States from when they burned the Quran and they were the killing U.S. servicemen and our president apologizing, to me, that was just ludicrous and shows a weakness and not strength. We have a caller calling in from 301. Okay, 301, you're on the line. Who do I have?
You got Fred out here.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
All right. What I was going to say, I was going to make a comment there. The last time we actually did anything good during wars was when we had a declared war by Congress.
True.
that was World War II. Ever since then, it's been... Congress hasn't followed the Constitution on declaring a war.
Yeah, and I don't think we've gone in with, you know, clear goals. You know, what are we trying to accomplish? You know, if you're just, like in Iraq, I think there was no plan for what was going to happen, you know, after we got Saddam Hussein. You know, what was the plan? There was no plan. And so you ended up with utter chaos.
Iraq and Afghanistan. Afghanistan was correct. We were going after...
the terrorists, yes.
Right.
Osama,
Iraq was nothing more than they tried to assassinate Daddy.
Yes. It appears that way, you know, because of the way it all played out. And unfortunately, not in a good way.
And it destabilized the whole area because Iraq and Iran... we're at each other's throat. When we took Iraq out, it gave Iran the freedom.
The opportunity. And also, Iran is currently involved in Syria.
Yeah.
And so, and yet our president thinks he can talk with these people and reason with them and that they're going to respect that. And yet just the other day, you know, they had this reading they got where they, you know, their plutonium or their weapons grade plutonium was 27%, which is, you know, nuclear grade. And they said, oh, it was an accident. And it's like, how long are we going to wait? You know?
Walk softly, carry a big stick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Peace through strength. And I just don't really think we're showing that. We're not showing the leadership. We're not showing any kind of spine or backbone. We've never been in the business of negotiating with terrorists, and yet we're talking to the Taliban, which is clearly a terrorist organization, and they are currently terrorizing women and young ladies in Afghanistan because they dare to want an education. And I mean, it's just all very frustrating to me, you know, as I watch, you watch these things going on every day, and you're just like, I don't know. Go ahead, Fred.
I was going to say, what was I going to say? One of the big problems is no veterans in the House, Senate, or the White House.
Okay.
I mean, you take everybody in those three places have, for 99% of them, have never served a day in the military. And that makes for a problem.
Well, that, yeah, that, I think it definitely helps if you have some with the experience and have the knowledge and the background that goes with that. I think we do have some veterans in there, but just probably not enough.
It's less than 1%.
Yeah, it's not a high percentage, a lot of them. But, yeah, it's just mind-boggling. I don't know. And I don't know, with this serious situation, what do? You know, it all depends on what your foreign policy is.
Brenda,
go ahead, Thomas. Yes.
I want to bring a clarity on something that which really it came out in the news, but most people ignored it. And it's something to do with Iraq. And you know, it's constantly said that we were in Iraq because he tried to assassinate Saddam Hussein, or Saddam tried to assassinate Bush 1, and this. And at one point, I used to believe all that until I actually talked to a young lady who lived in Iraq when all that was going on. She was an Iraqi citizen who immigrated here to America with her and her husband. They were Iraqi citizens. And so I was asking her, I said, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of Americans say that we were over there frivolously and stuff like that. And this Iraqi citizen looked at me and said, her words, she said, "American people are stupid." And she said, "Americans were not over there for oil. They were over there to protect the yellow cake." I'm like, "What on earth is yellow cake?" And she said, "You don't know what yellow cake is." I said, "No." And she said, "Yellow cake is uranium. Iraq has some of the largest stores of uranium ore in the world." And and then I actually, it clicked for me because some months before there, that story about how yellow cake was being smuggled into Niger in Africa, and we had gotten that information from British intelligence, but for some reason it got dismissed by the news media. And when she told me this, I'm like, oh man. Because this is someone who would know, and also by virtue of the fact her father-in-law was murdered by the Saddam Hussein regime, the Ba'ath Party. And so when she almost laughed in my face when I presented to her, you know, the thoughts on why we was in Iraq. And so the truth of the matter is this, which I've always said to people, we did find weapons of mass destruction. It doesn't matter that the 500 canisters of rising gas was from the early 80s. He was supposed to have destroyed those canisters after the first Iraq war. The fact that they still had them and they were still capable of being used, and it just, Brenda, it just blew my mind how I listened to even conservative Americans say, "Well, they never found weapons of mass destruction," and I'm like, "What the hell do you call 500 canisters of rising gas?" I'm like, "Come on, people, they found it." But because the hatred for George W. Bush, and he was a knucklehead, he wasn't really conservative as we thought, but I wasn't voting for a Democrat, so, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it used to just drive me crazy because I'm like, what do you call 500 canisters of ricin gas if it's not a weapon of mass destruction?
Yeah.
And I never got that. So, you know, we, and even she even told me this. She even told me this. She said, oh, and by the way, Saddam Hussein had dealings with Al-Qaeda for years. There were training camps inside Iraq, and that really floored me.
See, yeah.
There's so much that we don't know, but we're not really looking because we want to just believe what we want to believe instead of getting to the bottom of it.
That's well, and we became complacent, I think, and with our
yeah.
media. We didn't realize the extent of the propaganda that we are fed each
yeah.
and every day of our lives, that we don't get the news anymore. They don't just present it out there for you to wade through. You get somebody's biased opinion. Now,
well,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say one big problem with news today over 10 or 15 years ago
yep.
is it's all one or two companies own all the newspapers.
Exactly.
I mean, 20 years ago, I mean, every newspaper, I mean, newspapers were independently owned.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah, and not just the newspapers, the news stations, too, you know,
yeah.
I think are all pretty much the same kind of people controlling what's coming out and the
look,
AP and all that. So
look for your off-the-wall radio stations like, and I'm going to, if it's okay to say a station name, WPFW, Pacifica
uh-huh.
Radio.
Yeah, because you'll get more facts, actually.
Yes,
and a little
and
bit.
You actually get a more diversified programming, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they tend to have, some of those radio stations tend to have some people local doing an hour show once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, because your local news is a whole lot different than what you're getting national news-wise also, you know, because I know that here, you know, you actually get news on your local programs of what's going on in
yeah.
your community, whereas nationally you don't, you know, you don't get all the correct news anyway. And,
WPFW, which is in the Washington, D.C., it's WPFW.org. A friend of mine, I mean, actually has a show on Friday night. It's a Native American show. It's
oh,
an hour show.
Uh-huh.
And he has a broad range of topics that going on from week to week.
Uh-huh.
And I like Pacifica Radio. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's just I get a big range of things on it.
Right.
I mean, jazz hour. I mean, girls that follow him do jazz hour. Then there's later on before him is an hour of news that comes out from all sorts of different stuff in the news.
Right.
That you don't hear on all the radio stations.
Right. Yeah, and back in the day we had people like Paul Harvey, you know, and now for the rest of the story. But, Thomas, I know I had some people who came back actually from Iraq and said they did find weapons, that actually people who were serving their servicemen.
Right.
And I also, I watched the entire UN debate on whether or not to go into Iraq, and there was not one country in there that denied that Iraq had these weapons, and not one country stood up and would deny this because they
right.
all believed it. And yet in the end, it all came down, it was Bush. And it's like, really?
Right.
Really, people? You know, I watched this whole debate, and if it was, you know, it was not like Russia was standing up there saying, no, they don't have weapons. Russia was saying they have weapons, but we don't want to go in there and fight them. Well, you know why? Because Russia was sending them weapons, you know,
and
the French were getting oil from them, things that weren't supposed to be happening under the embargo. And these countries that abstained from that were actually benefiting through their under the table deals with Iraq. And you never heard that on the news either, you know.
Right, exactly.
Which is pretty sad, you know, how it. Your embargoes aren't going to work if you got other countries undermining them by, you know, doing under the table deals for their oil and weapons and that kind of thing. But, you know, them being close, so close to Iran also, you know, Iran didn't want to see us succeed there because they have their own little agenda. And they're not innocent people, or at least not at the head. I mean, there's innocent people probably in Iran. I'm not saying that. But, you know, the leaders are not innocent people. And they don't have our best interests at heart, that's for sure, or the Israeli interests at heart. And they just, you know, it's just like I cannot deny naiveness of even the administration thinking, oh, well, we're going to do talks with these people. Well, you know, talks are all well and good, but I'm sure both of you have probably at some point in time tried to talk to somebody who you can't reason with them no matter what you say. Whatever you say is going to be wrong, and they're, you know, right. They're going to go about their business the way it is. And you can't just accept that these people are going to tell you the truth, because they're not. They're going to lie right to your face. And
Time out for a minute. I want to share something with you, because I did not realize this. Do you know how much money Scott Walker has raised for his recall in just the 17 months he's been in office?
No, I do not.
$31 million, including $5.9 million in the last 5 weeks.
Well, that's good, because, you know, the Democrats are throwing money at him from all portions of
the Actually, here's
states.
The thing. They are losing that battle bad. I mean, the people in Wisconsin are so pissed, especially the private sector union people, because just the other day on the news, they was talking about on average, in the public sector union workers, a first year teacher makes on average, what was it? With all benefits, it figures out to $66 an hour, including all benefits. And for a private sector union worker, with including benefits, it figured out to $18 an hour.
Right. And it's the citizens' money that's paying for it.
Right.
And it's kind of ludicrous. The teachers' union is one of the biggest unions left in this country, and they wield a lot of power, especially in New York and different places. And there's corrupt. You know, there's where there's power and there's money, there's corruption. And they need to take it back to the local level and get these so we can teach our children and have our children learn. I mean,
right. They're
getting all this money, Thomas, and yet how many kids are graduating without knowing, you know, how to read or write or, you know, being prepared for the world?
50% of them. 50%,
yeah.
I think.
And so, you know, how can they justify this? I don't think you can justify that amount of money when you're not getting that kind of results out of that. And it's pretty sad. It's our state of affairs for our educational system here in the United States. But so I hope he does. I actually got emails today from, I think it was Herman Cain, actually.
Really?
Because, you know, it's Herman Cain's Solutions.
Yeah.
He's backing some conservative people for the Senate and asking people to give money. But it was either him or Santorum, one of them, was sending out about Walker in Wisconsin and trying to help raise money for that cause. So these people are not going away, which is very good news for conservatives, is that these people are out there, Herman Cain and Senator Santorum, they're out there and they're supporting and they're out campaigning for conservative people and, you know, people like Walker, because you know what, if he gets recalled, we're going to have the even bigger mess in this country than we already do, because can you just imagine, oh, we don't like this person, so we're going to we're going to get a recall. You know,
right.
Like, I mean, how will we ever get any business done like they get any business done now? But you know, you start this kind of nonsense, and where does it stop? You know, that's the whole problem. And so I really do hope that that fails there in Wisconsin, just to, you know, from that perspective. You know, he was elected, and you need to let him serve out his term. And then if you don't like him, vote him out. That's the way it's done, you know, it's that's the way it should be. But so hopefully he's going to pull that off. That's coming up, I think, June 5th? Is it next week?
You know, what gets me is here this guy ran saying he would fix the problems, told him how he would fix the problems, the problems, and now they're mad because he did what he said he was going to do.
Right. Yeah. But and it's not the people necessarily in Wisconsin that were mad at him. It's the union, the teachers' union. Because, you know, to get 1 million signatures or whatever amount they had to have is not easy. I mean, we were just trying to get, you know, 4,500 signatures here in Indiana. We ended up with 9,000 just to get Santorum on the ballot. And that took a lot of work. So, you know, they paid people to go door to door to door to door to get these people to sign these things so they could do this petition. But and they probably weren't even people who were from Wisconsin, you know. They bust them in. And it's really kind of sorry and sad state of affairs when, you know, that's how what we have to deal with. And that's why we're all doing these shows across the, you know, the network is trying to get the conservative message out there because we're dealing with people who can't accept it when they are voted no by the people, just like in California when they voted against gay marriage. The vote of the people wasn't good enough. Oh, no, we're going to sue because we don't care what the people think, you know. And it's going to happen over, was it North Carolina where they just voted on the marriage amendment? It's going to happen there, too. The lawsuits are going to come because they can't accept the vote of the people. Whereas most of us have been raised, you know, you accept the vote of the people. That's what we do. You know, you go with the flow. You don't rise up and, you know, create riots. That's, you know, that's not what we do. But unfortunately,
Maryland's got the same thing going on right now. And everything's on hold based on certain things because, we got some other problems. Because the state court systems have declared that if you registered as John H. Jones, you must sign the petition as John H. Jones.
Oh, my.
If you sign the petition as John Henry Jones, it's invalid.
Oh, that's crazy. that's a little bit crazy because, you know, I don't know how I registered. I might have used my middle initial.
Did you use your middle initial or did you use your middle name?
See, I don't usually I've never used my middle name. So, but sometimes I put my initial in, sometimes I don't. So, you know, for me, it would be like, I don't know. How am I registered there? You know, so that would be something difficult because a lot of people aren't going to even remember that.
Yeah, I mean, how long ago did you register? 10, 15 years ago?
When I was 18. So that was 32 years ago, you know. So it's been a long while, yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? A lot of people
I know. Yeah, I know. They're disenfranchising people, you know, by doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad because the people were the ones that the power was given to by the Constitution and was meant to be the power by the Founding Fathers was the people, not the government, not, you know, anything else. It was all about the people, and now it's more like it's about, you know, the few who want things their way and they can't accept what the people have to say. And they don't want to live in harmony. They want their way or no way. And that's not really, really a good way for the country to be headed because it's that's what creates the gridlock. And, you know, Thomas, you talked about President Bush, and I think his biggest problem was he tried to find the middle ground with the Democrats to get things done. And then they just
President Bush.
And that's what, and then they turn around and stabbed him in the back.
Yep.
So, you know, I think his biggest problem, his biggest fault was that he did try to compromise with them. And look how that, it just doesn't work out, because they will turn around. They did, because Bush actually didn't, the crash of 2008 was not caused by the Bush administration. It was actually caused, it had actually started back in the 70s, but the Democrats were much more at fault for the housing bubble than the Republicans. And George Bush called 12 different times for the Congress to act and put regulations to oversee, put oversight on Fannie and Freddie, 12 times.
Yep.
Long before the crash, and yet they refused to do it. And yet, who took the blame? You know,
Bush.
But it was Dodd and Frank and those Democrats that actually were the ones supporting Freddie and Fannie up to the very end, and then turned like dogs and blamed the Republicans. And so I think, you know, this bit about we have to compromise. And here, our Senator Lugar, who we just voted out here in Indiana, he refuses to get behind Murdoch, who we elected as our representative for the Republican Party here. He's not going to back him against the Democrat here in Indiana, because he doesn't think he's going to be bipartisan enough. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. I think he's just so clueless. He's been in Washington way too long, because he doesn't understand that the people don't want that. You know, we want our country back. We want the government out of our lives. We don't want compromise with people who don't agree with limited government. You know, we don't want that. And it's just mind-boggling to me that he's still blaming everything but the fact that, you know, people want change in Washington. And that doesn't happen unless we elect new people, people with new ideas, people that understand that the government is out of control. But, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me that he still doesn't get it. I was just reading an article today. It's just like, you've got to be kidding me. So, but anyway. Well, tonight I wanted to also talk about, because I don't know, they have this, I guess, committee of some sort in Washington that makes recommendations on health care. And I don't know why. Not really their business. And the latest thing is, well, they had to backtrack their way on the mammograms, because this was the same group that came out saying women didn't have to have mammograms. Well, for Fred, if you don't know, I work with cancer patients. It's what I do. I have a lot to say on that subject. And when they came out with that study, that just made me so angry, because we've worked so hard to educate people for early screening, because cancer, the earlier you catch it in most cancers, the better the prognosis, because you can get rid of it and fix it. If you ignore lumps, if you don't find those lumps early, you know, it can spread. And then we're just, you know, we're trying to stay even with the disease and trying to fight it back. Whereas, you know, if you catch it early with a mammogram, you can get it out of there either through surgery or through surgery with radiation. And, you know, they had come out and say, oh, you don't need these mammograms. Well, that they had such an uprising, they backtracked on that. Well, the latest thing now is the PSAs, which is the prostate-specific antigens that they test men for prostate cancer. And there are different views on this. I work for radiation oncologists. And these are primarily treated with radiation oncology. And I have one doctor, and he thinks it's kind of useless, because it is a slow-growing disease, and a lot of guys die from, you know, heart attacks or different things before the cancer ever gets, you know, causes fatality. But there are a few cases, and to me, if you can help just a few people, then it's worth it. All it is a blood test. You know, and they're thinking, well, it causes probably more harm, more people get radiation than they necessarily need to. But in my experience, I worked for hospice for a while. I was a hospice nurse. And there was, I had a gentleman, and they'd actually caught the cancer 10 years before, but they didn't expect him to live. So by the
time
I was, yeah, but this is typical prostate cancer. It is slow growing, but I was seeing him, because it had gotten to his bones and he could no longer take care of himself. So now we have an individual that, if they had treated him instead of just watched his prostate cancer, he could have lived his life at home and, you know, probably died of a heart attack or something, you know, similar to that. But instead he had to look at, you know, where he was going to go stay for the rest of his days because he couldn't stay in his house by himself anymore. And, you know, created that kind of situation. And I've also seen, you know, men paralyzed from prostatic cancer because they didn't have their PSA tests done. And these are men, you know, maybe in their 60s. So for me, I'm still advocating screening, early detection. And you can offer, you know, if the people don't want treatment, fine, but then it's in their own hands. Because actually when you do treat the prostate cancer, you know, it's usually not, they don't die from the prostate cancer. They die from other causes. So, but that was just, that's just kind of my opinion on this latest PSA offerings coming out of this Washington committee who, for some reason, thinks they get to decide care for patients or recommend
CDC.
Care. Yeah. But it just we work so hard in my profession to encourage early screening. If you're 50, get your colonoscopy. If there's a family history of colon cancer, get your first one at 35. You know, no, they're not pleasant people, but you know what? And don't be scared, because it's much better to find that polyp that's precancerous and get it out than it is to have colon cancer that has spread and you don't know if you're going to be cured or not and have to go through chemotherapy. You know, get your breast cancer screened, because it's much better to find that small lump and get it out before it spreads to the lymph nodes than it is to get it at a point where we can't fix it. I say the same thing goes for prostate cancer, just from my few experiences. You know, I would rather have it treated than to have come across the one or two people that might end up their days in a nursing home because they didn't. And they live longer, you know, because,
right.
You know, if you live past 76, you're living outliving the age group. And people are living into their 80s and 90s. And I think that has to go into consideration when you're making the decisions. And therefore, it should be left up to your doctor. The problem with these kind of recommendations is that then you're going to have Medicare not wanting to pay for these tests. And it just kind of really aggravates me, because I don't think that's not their business. It should be between the doctor and the individual patient, you know, as far as deciding on these kind of testing and preventative methods. But you know, early...
If Medicare won't pay for it, and you're a vet, see if the VA will pay for it.
Yeah.
VA is good on doing a whole bunch of tests, but not following through.
Yeah.
But at least they do the tests.
Yeah. And it's pretty frustrating, because, you know, like I said, you've got these coming out, and it comes out in the newspaper, and it goes on the news. And so people see this, and they think, well, I don't have to do that now. And it's just... from my perspective, it's very frustrating and it's counterproductive, you know, because I have seen those cases where if the earlier detection and treatment would have saved a lot of heartache and difficulties for, you know, more than just two individuals, more than that. But I just, you know, it just makes me kind of speechless sometimes. When they kind of undo everything we've for years been trying to teach to people, and that is, go get your screenings. You know, yes, it's unpleasant. Colonoscopies are not pleasant, but you know,
they're not.
50, go get one. It's not going to kill you. It may save your life. You know, it may actually save your life to have it done. And I do mine. I tell you, I get my screenings regularly and frequently. And then the worst thing you can do is be afraid to hear that you might have cancer. If you find a lump, and this is men or women, men can also get breast cancer. So, man, if you have a lump on your breast or in your chest area, get it checked out, because it's better to know than to let it go to the point where you have to get treatment. And at that point, we're not going to be able to cure you. So, you know, any abnormality, any lump, any changes in moles or freckles or sore throats that won't go away, rectal bleeding, any kind of abnormal bleeding. If you're having a heartburn, go get that checked. You know, go get the purple pill or whatever from your doctor and make sure it's documented. All these things. Do not ignore the symptoms because you're afraid it might be cancer, because the earlier you detect it, the better the prognostics. You know, if we can catch it early, surgical resection usually equals a cure. And you can't do that if you let it go, because it gets into the blood and it gets into your lymph system, and that's how it spreads. So that is my health minute for tonight. I don't know if anybody listening out there has any comments about that, but it is kind of one of my pet areas of medicine, since that is where I do the majority of my work. So,
right. You want to hear something funny?
Okay.
It's a matter of reaping what you sow. You know how Facebook has a tendency to be left leaning, be kind of.
Yeah, as yeah. YouTube is also.
Yep. Well. Since Facebook's initial public offering, when they first offered their stocks for sale,
uh-huh.
they were valued at $104 billion.
Uh-huh.
Right now, they're sitting at $61.98 billion and dropping.
Wow.
They have lost 40% of their value in 11 days.
Wow. That's not good.
But no, it's not good at all. And here's the other thing about it. There was some insider trading which now they're facing a major class action lawsuit. So Facebook might not survive.
Oh. Well, that would be interesting.
And I would laugh my tail off, because that's what happens to you when you get in bed with people who are cheaters.
Yeah. People without moral values, Thomas.
Exactly. So
you know,
you reap what you sow.
You know, our Constitution, most of our founding fathers, you know, you can look it up and you can see where they said that our Constitution is not going to be valid without, you know, moral and values. And yet today it's like people don't have any of that, you know, and you can't trust people. And like you're saying with this social media, it's like they think it's okay to cheat.
Right.
It's not okay to cheat. I mean, when has cheating ever been okay? But, you know, it's okay to cheat. It's okay to be illegal. Well, you know, being illegal is illegal. It's against the law. You know,
right.
That's not okay. And yet, the mindset of people to where they've just totally lost the perspective of the value of your word. You know, a man's word used to be everything. You could take him at his word back in the day, because that was something you couldn't take away from him, like you can take away money. You can't take away a man's honor and his word. And now it means nothing. It means
right.
nothing. And that's a sad state of affairs of where we have, where we've come to in this country. And with the politicians, even with the lies and the, I mean, they sit there, I don't know how they can keep a straight face when they tell these outrageous lies to people. You know, it's just like,
right.
How do you do that with a straight face? Just this, especially this bit about the Tea Party people being these horrible races. I mean, I'm not really a Tea Party person. I'm more of a right-wing Republican, but I'm also in that same group with you. I'm a racist and whatever. But
I'm a racist too, because I'm a Tea Partier. Wow.
I'm a black racist.
Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo! I haven't met one person in these places that I go where there's Tea Party people that has been unfriendly, mean, you know, disrespectful. You don't find that there.
I
you don't find
either.
It there at all. And Yes, I know you agree with me 100%. And but yes, that's why I was kind of glad to see that Herman Cain is still out there. He's still backing people for the Senate and backing people, you know, for the Congress, and using his name and his recognition to try to help in what ways he can, because we actually really do need that in this country today. We've got to start getting some people in there that when they say something, they mean it, and it's the truth.
Right.
And if they have to change what they're going to do, they can come out and tell you why, you know, not just go behind your back and do it and say, well, you know, I never meant that in the first place, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But this is probably part of the problem we have with our two candidates running, you know, and I will vote for the Republican candidate simply because the party platform is more what I believe. But they've changed their minds so many times. And they say one thing and they do exactly the other.
Right.
And our current president is one of the best at this, you know, and then making it seem like, you know, he's done nothing wrong.
You mean our current president is a sniveling little rat?
Well, I will not go that far, but, you know, basically,
I will.
Yes. Yes. And I just don't,
sniveling
I don't understand
people.
How people can't see those things and understand those things. And, you know, once again, they're out terrorizing the seniors, you know, war on women like we started out with. And yet the hypocrisy, you know, the war on women, yet women around the world are being treated poisoned.
Right.
But
right.
They're mad because we won't pay for somebody's birth control. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, well, Thomas, I want to thank you for coming and joining me tonight. I think I'm going to cut this short because without Billy, I just don't have a whole lot to say.
So yeah.
She usually brings up topics for me. So
I hope she's okay.
I think she probably is. It's just that time of year, you know, school's getting out and the kids are out and it's summer and we get kind of busy with our lives out there. So, but I do appreciate your calling in. And
not
chatting with me, and you're doing your shows on Fridays. You have Right to Life Fridays.
Pro Life
Fridays.
Yep.
On Blog Talk Radio. And Billy has a show. I think No Abomination is on Thursday nights at 7 Central.
Yep.
I believe that's right. So if you can tune into those, we really appreciate that. And if you tuned in tonight, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. And I think I'm going to take us out with a song because I like my song. But let me just run down here and find a good one. I'm going to go with The American Soldier. We'll keep going on the theme of Memorial Day and keep remembering those who died to protect the freedom. They didn't die to protect socialism. They died to protect America from socialism and communism, and to keep us free and to allow us to live our lives as we so choose, as long as it's not destructive to another. So here we go. We got American Soldier, Toby Keith song.
All right. Good night, Brenda.
Night, Thomas.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, take the stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier.
In 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, Then we can expand the program after that.
Living and dying with the choices I've made.
Well, thanks everyone for listening and have a good night.